This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Daniel Christians is a Melbourne designer and digital storyteller who actually spent a large part of his life attending those two churches that were recently graffitied with threatening slogans like "Crucify No Voters." Daniel sees the vandalism of these two churches as a great irony and a misunderstanding of the Christian faith. He says they're the very same churches that helped him to be loving and accepting towards the gay community. Daniel's just written an opinion piece in the Huffington Post, and he's on the line now. Daniel, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Claire.
What was the first thought that went through your mind when you saw the news about these two churches, Waverley Baptist and Glen Waverley Anglican, being graffitied?
I think initially I was quite upset. This is a place that I had grown up at, Waverley Baptist. This was the church that I was baptized in, and I knew how unhelpful this would be for the gay community and also even for the Christian community in terms of potentially responding with a more antagonistic approach to this issue, which is already causing a lot of controversy within the media. But upon further reflection, I really felt that there was a great sense of irony, because the first gay man that I met was actually at Waverley Baptist, at this church that had written on its wall, "Crucify No Voters." Mm. And for me, this was a very strange feeling, because through meeting my friend Aaron and hearing his story, I became far more sympathetic to him and his identity. I knew that he didn't seek after being homosexual. This was something that he was experiencing as if it was kind of beyond his control. Mm. So I guess it was his story that kind of came to mind, and it made me feel that maybe this church and GWAC as well, which was also graffitiing on the same weekend, maybe these aren't bigot-making factories as such. They're places where people are learning to actually love others with compassion.
You mentioned GWAC, so that's the nickname, I guess, for Glen Waverley Anglican Church.
Yep.
And so in your Huffington Post article, you say that it's actually the Christian faith and the things that you began to learn in church that have actually shattered your homophobia as you've grown up. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that change of heart unfolded?
Well, for me, I guess I grew up in a relatively conservative environment, and I'm still involved in these environments as well. And we learnt certain ideas around sexuality and around how relationships can and should be expressed. However, in meeting gay people and spending time with them, playing in bands with them, having them play at my baptism, I started to question the narrative that homosexuality was a sin and not a God-given orientation. And so the stories that I was hearing every week in church and studying every week in Bible study, they didn't seem to line up with my experience of how some parts of the church were treating their gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. What I saw in the Christian message was this heart for those that have been disempowered and a radical kind of compassion to those who society has thrown towards the edges. And I saw Jesus really speaking to those at the edges of society with compassion and having some higher degree of hostility, I guess, towards those in power and those who had leveraged their power to exploit those towards the bottom of society. So in hearing these stories, it seemed to me that we could at least do better in terms of our treatment of gay and lesbian brothers and sisters that sometimes attend our church and those within the wider community.
I want to read a quote that I really liked from your article. "Seeing the graffiti on these walls left me amused. This was another sacred place which caused me to be less bigoted than I otherwise would have been. Authentic religion has a way of cleansing us from such sin." Daniel, it's interesting to me that there's so much debate between people of faith over sexuality and what counts as sin. And you're making the point here that maybe the sin we really need to worry about more is bigotry and hatred.
Yeah, well, I think this could be a plank and speck issue. I think it's really easy to shut down people that are homosexual as a heterosexual man myself. Like, that is one of the easier approaches that we could take to this conversation, because while I may have sin in other area, homosexuality is something that I've never experienced, so that's something that I can really clamp down on. But I don't know whether this does justice towards the biblical narrative, and I do think that Christianity has been able to actually show tolerance, perhaps where other cultural and faith traditions haven't in the past, because Christianity has built into its very core this kind of self-critique mechanism, because we don't look at some of the laws of the Old Testament and we don't say that these laws apply in all instances now. We read them through the light of the New Testament. And Christianity throughout history has had some not great approaches to slavery and war and to colonization, but in reading these historical events through the lens of Christ, we're able to self-reflect and say, maybe this isn't what God has intended for us. And when I hear about my gay friends that are experiencing psychological issues, when I hear about gay people that have committed suicide, I can't help but think we can do better.
Well, just lastly, Daniel, you're obviously keen to see peace and understanding and reconciliation between communities. And our nation seems to be really quite divided at the moment by this vote. So I wanted to ask, as a young Australian and a man of faith, how would you like to see people treat one another during this voting period and beyond?
I guess what saddens me about some of the rhetoric around the vote is that people tend to be reduced into yes voters and no voters as if that's their defining feature. For me as a Christian, I can't look at people just as a yes voter or a no voter. If I'm going to reduce them to anything, it's into the expansive image of Christ. So it's not a form of reductionism in any way. So I guess what I hope is that people from various spectrums within the community will be able to talk more, will be able to be in communion with each other, be able to serve each other. And I think this is where we learn what's right and what's wrong and what sin is through service and through reflecting upon our own views that we've had in the past and seeing them in the light of relationship and love for one another.
Well, Daniel, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Claire.
That's Daniel Christians, who does design and digital storytelling, especially in the area of social justice.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.